was like, man, I just feel so pregnant. Like, yeah. Way more than I should be. I think you first asked, well, you mean like emotionally or physically? Oh, yeah. And I was like, both. It's like, I'm emotionally there, but also like in my body, I feel as big as if I would be like 30 weeks. And you were like, well, how far along are you? And I was like, I don't know.
Holy Wild Birth is a podcast embracing the reclamation of giving birth, rooted in God's original design, undisturbed.
Here, we share homebirth stories highlighting God's presence as the great midwife, as well as conversations about all aspects of a holistic, spirit-led childbearing year. From the perspectives of myself, traditional midwife Lauren Hall of Rooted in Eden Private Contract Association,
and me, holistic doula and birthkeeper Brooke Collier of Sister Birth.
To choose a holy wild birth journey is to consecrate all your decisions unto the Lord.
And to reclaim creation unadulterated by centuries of human attempts to control and improve upon what God has already called good.
Please remember, birth is not a medical event, but a natural process. We are not your care providers, and this should not be taken as medical advice.
Welcome to another episode of Holy Wild Birth. If you've been a listener for a while, you know that our very own Lauren was expecting a baby, and that baby turned out to be two babies, and she gave birth to them this April, this month. So this episode is simply part one of the telling of their story from conception, actually pre-conception, until the time when she found out that there was twins. And then we'll be back tomorrow with part two that will cover the rest of her pregnancy and the birth. So grab a cup of coffee or tea, get comfy, and enjoy this beautiful story of God's goodness.
All right. So this episode is so special because I'm sitting here in person with Lauren and her two beautiful babies.
Yeah. They're right here. They made it.
They're so sweet, you guys. And you all know that these babies are coming. And so today's the day when you get to hear kind of their story. And Lauren and I were just reflecting as we prepared for this episode that it's not so much just a birth story as it is their story. And so there's so much of the details of what make this story amazing are in the pregnancy and pre-birth. So Lauren's probably going to tell us a lot about that. And so we're just going to start kind of with the beginning. And you want to share a little bit about just, well, you already shared on the podcast about your, like, the Lord telling you to be open to conceiving babies.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So there was the, like, lead up of, and if you haven't heard that, that's in the Stewarding Your Fertility podcast. I kind of told the beginning of, like, when the Lord was helping me open my heart for a new baby. and I thought that it was actually for babies. But I was, and really so much of their story even is rooted in that space, because he needed to do that because my heart was just so grieved from the loss of Levi. So I actually had fraternal twins before this pregnancy, and we lost who we believe was a little boy named Levi. We were given two names, and Lila's the one that stayed, and the other one was a little boy. So we don't actually know by like ultrasound that it was little boy, because he left too soon for that. But we do believe that Levi went to Jesus, and therefore being fraternal twins, because it was boy girl. And my heart was just so like, it was just a deep grief. And there was a lot that I did definitely unpack through the time of, you know, in between the pregnancies. But there was so much of their story. One, they were not a replacement. They were not a replacement for Levi or, you know, any of that. But it was in their story, God used their presence to help me process so much grief and bring redemption and show his love through them and help me really process that loss. And so It was emotional pregnancy for sure. Mm-hmm. And there's still, and I always will be grateful and grieving for the loss of Levi, but I found so much healing in this. Like, I always say that birth and pregnancy is all about not just bringing forth a baby, but there's this transformation and who God wants you to be as a mom and a woman. And, mm-hmm. and so much of this transformation for me was about releasing that, that pain and just being able to grieve from a deep place of love for him versus, wounded, mm-hmm. a wounded grief. Now it's a, and I think it always was to some extent, but now it's just that hopeful grief of like, you know, I will see him again, you know? Yeah. And so they have brought healing with them. Mm-hmm. And so their story really starts, you know, like I said, God kind of gave me a heads up and helped me process. And then I knew the moment we conceived, like I knew that I was like, I always had that like internal feeling of just like, wow, there's another spirit inside of me. Like there's that this no longer is just me and the Holy Spirit in this body. Like mm-hmm. there's a new occupant, you know? And so I always feel that. So I felt the immediate shift in my body and spirit and just there's a baby at least. And at least at that point, I wasn't expecting twins. I know I feel like I had some inklings, but for the most part, I was like, really shut off to the idea that it could be twins again, that even though I would have these things, like I can even go back and look at text and where I would say babies or they, and you know, like I would say they a lot, even though I was totally like, no, it's just one, you know? And, mm-hmm. and so if even my friends kept going, she keeps saying they, is that because like, what's going on there? Is there something I don't know? Like, no, it just keeps coming out.
You're using a gender neutral term.
Gender neutral. And it was just something that I was, anytime I had the inklings around it being twins, I would just shut it down like really quickly.
A little bit of a self-protective mechanism, probably.
A lot of a self-protective mechanism. And so there was some inklings early on that I just totally shut down, ignored. But at that point I was very much in this, I just want to have a holy wild, just pregnancy. I'm not going to, you know, I really wanted to embrace just the mystery mm-hmm. of pregnancy. And I see now how much that really set me up for the healing that God brought, because there was a lot of leaning into him for information versus all of the other things, which then he was able to use, you know, obviously he was able to use that. So I really like, I didn't ever pee on a stick to find out that I was pregnant. I was charting. And so I had been taking my temp with using the temp drop. And then I quickly started realizing I was like overanalyzing the temperatures and whether they were still rising. And I was mm-hmm. like, this is still external validation. Like I want to really have it just be completely organic, complete mystery, embrace that. And so I stopped temping because I was like overanalyzing that. And, but I just was like, hey, if I'm pregnant, I believe I am. I'm going to start acting like I am. And, you know, but was just waiting, for that kind of more obvious confirmation of like, well, yeah, no menses came and no, mm-hmm. you know, there's a second month of no, like we're definitely showing all those things. Like I was just waiting for pregnancy symptoms versus, something to tell me I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had really done that. I had kind of wanted to a few times in the past, but had always ended up using a urine stick and that kind of thing. But I also was like, because I know the day that I conceived, I kind of looked up due dates, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to embrace this. Like I did it all the way. So it was like LMP conception. They actually ended up being the exact same, which was like never heard of. Right. Like, but my LMP and by conception date were the same. And then I did like Woods method and the moon lunar methods and just kind of got the smattering of all of the due dates. And then I was like, you know what? I am obviously, look at this array. I'm due in spring. I am due when the flowers bloom. And that became a theme throughout the whole pregnancy, like when the flowers bloom. Like that was what I was saying to my kids. And it was just something that ended up being like a mantra. When are they coming? When the flowers bloom.
Yeah. I love the openness of that.
Yeah. And it just, yeah. So I held that for their whole time. And I think the other big thing that really started at the beginning is that I was just really looking for that womanly support, you know, like I'm gonna lean on the Lord first and foremost. And that was a given, but you know, it was like, okay, do I hire a midwife? I'd had an assisted birth last time. That was kind of an accidental unassisted, mm-hmm. but kind of not, you know, it was this like, I'd had a wild pregnancy, but it was flying in my midwife and she didn't quite make it, you know? And so there was the baby came a week before she got here. And so it was kind of like, mm-hmm. it wasn't even then. And again, it was like, it wasn't that I felt like I needed the skill or the like midwifery brain, mm-hmm. As much as I just wanted the community support. Like I wanted to be surrounded by women who cared and loved me and, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I realized like first I hired a midwife, found two, you know, midwives that I felt like was going to fit that niche. And, you know, there were traditional midwives and all of that. And long story short on that one is just that the Lord asked me to let him be the midwife. And so, in obedience, I let them go, much later in the pregnancy. I think I got to about 20 or 21 weeks before I actually, let them go, but I'd hired them early. But God kept talking to me about it that whole time and just really teaching me like lean in on your mother. Like you have this mm-hmm. amazing, godly, spirit-filled, loving mother that, you know, absolutely she's been in all my births and she we just have a really solid relationship and you know, we always talk about that, right? In birth yeah. of like, well, the midwives would have used to been like, yes, there was midwives. There's always been skilled women, but the births were attended by the other women in the community, you know, like your sister and your mom and your aunts and those who'd given birth before you. And he was like, I gave you that. I've given you friends that have given birth. I have given you a mm-hmm. mother that is a deeply spiritual mother mm-hmm. and your actual biological mother and, you know, your best friend and, you know, like lean on her. Yeah. Like she's your mom, like she is your midwife in all of the ways of authentic midwifery we talk about, mm. minus the, can she handle a shoulder dystocia? She's not been trained to, but you know, like, you know, but that wasn't what I was looking for anyway. Yeah. Right. So that I feel like God has given me so much of that. And that throughout the pregnancy, there was so much just, I didn't do prenatals, but I was constantly reaching out to you or mm-hmm. my, you know, some of my girlfriends or my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I essentially had like four women that I was constantly talking to and processing all of the big things.
Yeah.
And there's so much a part of that story. Like you're so much a part of this story and my mom and Caitlin and Nicole and Jessica mm-hmm. all really, really just have surrounded me throughout this whole process. And it's just been, that was what I was seeking, was a group of a community care.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what I got. And I didn't have to hire it
yeah.
because it was just something that has been built through friendship.
Organic.
And,
yeah.
you know, like something that God has given me. And so that's just been a really beautiful blessing to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So through those like big spaces, I just began to, you know, really just walk out the pregnancy, just be pregnant.
Yeah.
And, but lots of things kept coming up around the grief of Levi and early on. So like the first couple mm-hmm. weeks, I wasn't sick at all. We were just coasting. It was, much later than I had ever, if I had gotten morning sickness. Not all of the pregnancies have I had morning sickness, but the ones that I did, I'd get it really early, like just immediately. And this one, it was much later in the first trimester that it hit, but when it hit, it was vicious. And I just was like completely like, I was not operable. Like, I could not function whatsoever. And I was actually throwing up, which in most of the morning sickness had just been like really intense nausea without what true vomiting.
Yeah.
But I was vomiting. I was so sick. And that was kind of the first like, is this twins? You're really, really sick and you're really, really hungry. And anytime I would have those conversations with the midwife I'd hired, or even my friends in the community that, you know, had assembled, it was like, I know whatever you're thinking, don't say it. You know, like, just don't. I understand. My midwife brain works too. Don't say it. Like, I just can't. And like, I would just immediately shut it down and shut it down in my heart and mind. And like, we will look at that when we can. Like, I can't look at it yet. And so I wasn't in a place of like, I knew I was shutting it down. So there was also a level of like, I'm working on that, but I can't just go run to an ultrasound right now because one, I don't really want them. And if I don't think it's twins, then I don't want the ultrasound. But if it is twins, I need to like process I just needed to process going to the ultrasound. And so I kept like going, I can't have the conversation, but I am working on it. and so I just kind of kept silencing all of the voices around me, very well-meaning, you know, wise voices, because they were obviously right. There's twins here. But I kept going, I can't look at that yet. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I can't look at it. And so essentially I had gotten to the point where I was so sick and I was realizing that it was like blood sugar levels, that it would drop and, you know, I would feel off, right? Like without testing it, I would feel off. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I would want would be something that was like fruit or these, like those organic 100% fruit juices, that fruit juice popsicle things that my kids had. And so I would like get that and then I would feel immediately better. And then I could eat all the protein and all the, you know, like the calories, but I needed something to like spike. And I was like, okay, I keep going to this like high carb, you know, high glucose thing. And I feel immediately better. This seems like it's blood sugar. So I went ahead and tested and I had eaten, you know, I had like a really low fasting. I think it was like 87 or something in the morning. Not really low, but like fasting was 87. And then I ate a ton of food, like ton of food. I had like 3 eggs and this like high protein grain rich porridge that had like also nuts and, you know, buckwheat and all the things, you know, just in cranberries and all, and just lots of grass fed butter. And it was made with the raw whole milk that I had not removed the cream from, and, you know, just all the things, right? Like, it ended up being like 1200 calories of a breakfast that I had made. And I think I'm missing a few items, but I remember it being 1200 calories. And ate that. And then at 45 minutes, I was already feeling hungry. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, what? And I was starting to feel nauseous, that I was okay. It was like, I got hungry. And then like 2 or 3 minutes later, the nausea was hitting. And I was like, I just need to get to an hour to find out what my, like, I want to, normally I don't even recommend this. I'm more of like, just eat and don't worry about the blood sugar reading. But I really wanted to get a solid number because I had been dealing with this for a couple of weeks. And I was just like, I want some information. So I was like, it's 15 minutes, push through, you'll be okay. And I took it in an hour and my blood sugar was 89. Instead of 87. And I was like, so my body was like, what is 1200 calories? Like, nothing. It's fine. Like, please eat, you know? And so I was like, okay, it's twins. No, it's not. Can't do that. Not looking at it, you know? And so I immediately went into this like deep processing place of like, okay, my body is needing a ton of food. Obviously, it's obviously needing a ton of food. So I switched into like literally eating every 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I always had something in my hand, all, you know, eating tons of high protein, high calorie, great diet. Like, I mean, I was eating all the right things. And if I ate every 30 minutes, if I essentially went about life with always a food in my hand, I was not sick. And so I did that for about a week or two in just this place of like, okay, this means it's twins. But anytime I let my brain go there, I would have the grief just wave. Mm-hmm. And so I was just, I was like, I just need to process this grief before I can get to the truth of whatever this is. And so I just was letting myself, instead of trying to find answers for what is going on, I just wanted to process my grief. And so I spent that just eating, taking care of my pregnancy and my body the way I needed to, and processing grief. And so I was talking with you, and I was talking with Caitlin and my mom and my sister, and just all these women. Honestly, every time I look at this pregnancy, I just see so much support throughout the whole thing. I was just so supported by all of these amazing women. And it just moves my heart so much. I'm just so thankful for that. But I was just processing with them. And I know at one point I had told you, you know, I was really carrying, again, I didn't realize how much I was carrying. And I think I just said it out loud. And it was one of those situations where you're like, that's a lie. We're going to call that out. When I essentially was like, you know, I didn't feed myself well enough with Leela and Levi. And so, you know, I knew that I was not eating enough. I could not get it in. I kept trying to eat well, and I was so nauseous that I couldn't eat, and I wasn't getting in enough to sustain two babies. And so I lost Levi, and you were like, I don't think that you're the one who sustains life. You know, you're not the keeper of life and death. And, you know, and you were like, I'm sorry, who is it that puts life in the womb? And who is it that sustains twins, even in malnourished women?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you'd be right, you know?
Yeah.
And that, so, but I had to hold it. Like, I had to hold that for a minute, because I was like, that hurts a little bit, but you're right. Okay. But I realized I had been carrying this lie that it was my fault. I was responsible for his death. And, so then that was like the, oh, okay, let me process that. Yeah. So I was starting to like look at that and hold that and give that over to Jesus, right? Just be like, I'm sorry. You know, like, I'm sorry that I was holding that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna, you know, lay that down. And so it was a couple days of processing there. And then I ended up getting to church that week, and I just sobbed at the altar during worship, just, you know, just really laid it all at his feet. And then we had a leadership meeting after that church service. And so my sister-in-law is also in a part of that leadership meeting, my husband's brother's wife. But I've known, we're close, and I got to just, she's also a twin mom. And so I was like, this is what I'm experiencing, but also all this grief from the loss of Levi. And then we just kind of like told all of Levi's story to her and just really like gave it space that it needed to just get it all out. And she just sat there and listened to me and just let me hold that. And she was like, you don't have to run off to get an ultrasound right now. You know, like, you can just let this be. And so I was kind of in that space. And I ended up going to talk to my mom, who also had been a leadership meeting, but then she had something else going on at the end of the day at church. And so we were just kind of all, it's kind of one of those all day long things. We're just all here for all these different stuff going on. And so there was a little bit of a lull of time, after the leadership meeting, before my mom's like Bible study, I think it was. And we were sitting in the foyer of the church, and I just kind of told her, Rachel, this, and, you know, I was processing that, and we've been praying about it, and I'm not sure I believe it's twins. I keep asking, I don't hear anything. Brandon's not sure that he, you know, like, neither one of us are getting a, like, yes, it's twins, but we're, you know, I'm just not saying anything. So I'm kind of going, it's not, I don't necessarily feel an unction to go get an ultrasound right now. And so I was just processing this to her and she said, looks at me. And it was just this moment where she just kind of looked and you were like, pay attention to mm-hmm. the words that are about to come out of her mouth. And she looked at me with this look and she was like, I hear you. And I know that you hear from the Lord. And if you're saying he's not saying it's twins right now, you know, I'm going to, you know, I believe that in the sense of like, you know, like you don't necessarily need it if he's not asking you to go right now. So it makes me wonder, are you eating for twins or are you eating to save Levi? And the, when she said that, it just, it hit mm-hmm. like a ton of bricks. Like it was just that like weight of like, whoa, yeah, I'm eating to save Levi. And the moment, it was like an immediate release too. Cause it was like, that's true. And wow, I need to repent. Like mm-hmm. immediately I was just like, I'm sorry, Lord, for trying to control life. Like that's like, yes, I need to steward, but like, I'm still holding on to I was responsible. Mm-hmm. And so that was what I needed to repent of, right? Like I was not responsible for whether anyone lives or dies, you know, like, he gives and he takes away and it's pride to not accept what he's doing. And so, and later on, I forgot about this until now, or I would have looked up the scripture. I wonder if I could find it quickly, but, a friend of mine ended up sending me a scripture, that evening that was just essentially saying like, my body cries out and, you know, that it was the heart cry, but was causing a physical pain in the body mm-hmm. because of a sin that he not, you know, he was like, when I repented my sin, there was the healing.
Psalm 52.
I think that's right. I think it's Psalm 52. And so it was sent to me for another complete reason, but it hit mm-hmm. really heavily when she sent it. And I was like, wow, this is confirming. But essentially, after that moment of like repentance, I didn't have to eat for 4 more hours. It was just like immediate healing mm-hmm. from the extreme nausea that I was having. And so it was just like complete release. I repented and then he gave me relief from this need, this insatiable need that I thought I had for Singleton mm-hmm. to eat all this food. Which then, looking back, is now yet another way he showed me, because I was carrying twins and uh-huh. I did need to eat that food to quote unquote sustain a twin pregnancy. And he said, hold on. Not only am I going to attack this like lie that you're carrying and not let you carry that anymore, but also I'm going to show you how great my love is. I'm going to make sure that you don't eat enough for twins and watch you have healthy babies. You know, like it was just so good to me. Because there was a good couple of weeks in the late first trimester, really into the second trimester that I wasn't eating. I was just following my hunger cues.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was still eating well and I was still eating good food and nourished and stuff. But
so you weren't like doing a twin protocol.
But I wasn't doing a twin.
Yeah.
This was how much I should eat. And I may have. I don't know. I don't feel like I was probably eating enough and it for by like the standard. I was still eating well and I was still eating by my hunger cues. But like, yeah. And yet here God was like, let me just show you how good I am and how that it's in my hands. Yes. This is completely in my hands.
Yes.
And so that was kind of the first really big healing that I got. That they helped usher in. And then moving through really after that kind of coasted until about 17, 18 weeks. And at that point, now remember, I wasn't tracking my weeks. I wasn't measuring my fundal height. I wasn't, keeping up with what is my due date. This is how many weeks I am, whatever. And so, but I also wasn't feeling movement. And I had tried to listen to with the fetuscope a handful of times and began to think I have an anterior placenta by what I could hear with the fetuscope. I was never was early, but I could always hear so much placental sounds that I was like, okay, it might be even longer before I ever get fetal heart tones, even though I typically pick them up in my own body pretty early for a fetoscope, that is. And I wasn't finding heart tones with the fetoscope. I was only finding placental sounds, but I was also not feeling movement. So there was this like, it's probably because there's an anterior placenta. Yeah. But it kind of hit heavy one day where I was just really bothered by the fact that I still hadn't felt movement, because I'm used to movement by like 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was like nothing. There was no flutters. There was nothing. And I was just like, this is weird. I know that I'm pretty far along. I should be. And I had quite the bump too. And so I was like, I should be feeling something. This is weird. And so I was like, it was kind of holding that for a couple days. And then there was this one day, I think I'd had a dream of actually giving birth to a stillborn. And even in the dream, when I woke up, I was like, that had nothing to do with my pregnancy. Like, I knew that there was a lot of like community pieces about the dream and some other things that it made sense more on a spiritual level. But there was that, you know, I'd had that, and then it like hit me. I was like, I haven't felt any movement. How far along am I? Like, should I be feeling movement yet? Should I be picking up heart tones by like, I know I pick it up normally early, like, but am I at the standard, you know, and with an anterior placenta, you know, when should I be finding it kind of thing? So I did my numbers and figured out that I was 18 weeks, and I was like, okay, feel like I should definitely be able to find like something, but maybe not, you know, maybe another, you know, week or two. But like, I really got to the point in a mental space where I believed that the baby was gone. And I was texting you and I was texting Caitlin and Nicole, and was just essentially like, I am standing in my kitchen and I'm making, you know, it's a quiet house, but, you know, everybody's still asleep and I'm making my breakfast, and I just am not sure that my baby is with me. And I can't shake that like fear right now. And I'm just trying to rest in the unknown. And I know I could pull out my Doppler, but I don't really, you know, I'm trying to follow this way of the hearth mother. We were like in the place of, of preparing the waiting module for the hearth mother journey, of what it means to wait on the Lord. And to really just intertwine yourself with him. Like, that's what the Hebrew of one of the words for wait in the Hebrew text means, is to intertwine, to like really become part with him. And so I was like, here I am preparing this lessons, and I'm getting an opportunity to just like, can I wait, or do I want to run and get a Doppler and find the heart tones and be sure? And like, so I actually, you know, I'm texting you guys and kind of just sharing and processing a little bit. And it's like, I just want to wait on him. And he gave me this song. Well, actually, I think I had accidentally, like, I was texting with Caitlin on Facebook. And so it like opened the Facebook memory to like go to her. And the memory for that day was, our king is seated. He's not frantically pacing. He's not anxious or nervous. He's not unsettled or scared. He is seated, settled, secure. And then the verse of the day was, I know that my Redeemer lives. And so I started singing that song that I remembered from childhood, A Redeemer by Nicole Mullen. And I just ended up going sitting on the porch, and I was worshiping to the song just on repeat, and just letting kind of those like silent tears just fall, and just drinking, you know, I think I had a cup of warm tea and was sitting there just staring at the leaves on the trees. And I might actually, I don't think I had leaves yet. I think it was winter. It was maybe like we were in like August, I think, at the time. So they were falling off, and I have a picture here. It was the fall leaf So I was staring at that and just sitting with my Bible going, okay, God, you sustain life. And in that song, it was, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening, and whose words alone can catch a falling star. And the catching a falling star thing just rung in my heart, like so deeply. There was this like, I know that his words can catch a falling star. And if that means that he can catch them to sustain them in my womb, or like he can catch them and sustain their life eternal, like he catches this star. Like, and so I'm just going to give this little star to him, you know, like, and it just became part of that, that prayer. And then you sent me like Psalms 128 and then Caitlin started sending me the same scriptures I had been using to prepare the weight lesson. So she's sending me these like waiting verses. And I was like, yes, that's exactly it. You know, like it was just this like confirming thing of all of these scriptures and the Psalms. I think it was Psalms 27:14. And just, you know, she was talking about like the cord and the strand of ropes that to wait for means. And we just kind of was like, he's going to, he can gather up your babies. He can sustain your baby. And at this point I still thought it was one. But in that moment, he ended up giving me a word about Levi. There's a parallel later coming on that too, but just as I trusted him to sustain, whether in this life or the next, the baby in my womb, he began to really give me a word about the why and the reasons behind Levi, the reasons he took it, and how it truly was a mercy, and which was a word he'd given when it a couple months after it happened, that it was for mercy. It shouldn't make any sense to me or my husband, but we were like, okay, I'll trust that, but I don't understand what that means. And so it was really a walk of faith to believe that it was for mercy, but yeah. I did. My husband, later I found out, he really, really struggled with that, but also got healing in this story. But there was some stuff that happened that day. And that word of why he told me that it was an answer to my mama prayer, which again, another weird, like, what does that mean? You're like, right. You took my son as an answer to my prayer. And he did explain that, but I'm going to give you that explanation in the later part of this story, because it really came full circle. So essentially I continued going, okay, God, if I got out the Doppler, I would know whether this baby is here or not. And then what would I do with that? I would wait. I wouldn't run to the hospital for an ultrasound or a DNC or, you know, like I would wait for my body to process a miscarriage if that was the case. And so what does a Doppler actually give me? It's not, you know, like it's not going to rush a process. It's just going to give me information. And do I actually need that information right now? And so again, I was just embracing the like mystery and waiting on him and asking him like, what do I need to do? And, you know, he just kept saying, wait. And so, I went, I think a day or two, I mean, maybe just the rest of the day. It was either the rest of that day or the rest of the next day as well. I'm not exactly sure the timeline anymore, but I was just kind of like, okay, I'll either feel the baby move or I won't. And they're either here or they're not. And can I trust him to catch this falling star and be good in that? And I can. And so that was my place. And I just wanted to stay in my place at his feet, you know? Yeah. And in that, the end of that day or the next day, whichever one it was, I was headed to bed. And it was kind of a late night. Like it was I had helped, you know, one of my others to bed and they were having trouble to sleep. And I think it was like 11:30. And so it was kind of an odd time to be like, I'm going to go listen with a fetuscope now. You know, but it was like I was headed to the bed. I was walking down the hall and I heard the Lord just really clearly, listen now. And I was like, okay. And so I went and I grabbed my fetuscope. And as soon as I dropped it down, it was like a little heartbeat. And now I know it was, it had to have been Willow's heart that I listened to because of where it was. But I heard Willow. And so I was like, okay, there's the strong beating heartbeat. And I just kind of wept and thanked the Lord for that. And I woke up my husband and told him, and we just rejoiced in that space of like, okay, you know, but again, it was just this place of like surrender, really surrendering my understanding and surrendering these babies, this, you know, at the time I thought it was a baby, but surrendering all of my children to him. And so that was, again, such a theme throughout this place. And so
I'm struck by how in your willingness to sit with the discomfort and the unknowing on more than one point in this journey, the Lord had gifts for you in that space that you would have forfeited if you had rushed through it to just get the quickest reassurance or the quickest answer.
Yeah, exactly. It's so exactly right. And so it just, the waiting on him and the surrender to him, the surrender of my own understanding for his peace, what brought so much gift to me, that it's just mind blowing to me. And I'm just so grateful to him. But like, he's just good, y'all. He's just so good. So at that point, that was like 18 weeks. Then I got, I think I hit about 19 weeks maybe is when I got real, real sick. And it was somewhere in that, because I went back to like not knowing how, you know, I kept, anytime I had found a place of like, I need to look up what I'm, my, what weeks I'm at, I would then kind of try to push it out of my mind and not remember how far along I was. And so people would ask me, but I have no idea. So like some weeks went by and I lost again how, you know, keeping up with how far pregnant I was. But somewhere in that space before I found out I was pregnant with twins, but after that, so in the 18 to 23 realm, I got really, really sick and like just like dehydrated type of sick. So not like a virus, but like I passed out. I was weak. I passed out in my living room and essentially I chalked it up to like the stress of trying to put together Hearth Mother Journey. And there was some things coming up and there was a lot of like, there was some other stressors. I think that was when my dad had broken his ankle and I was taking care of my father, because my mom was out of town for like that whole month and he had had surgery. And so I was like running his household and my household and trying to keep him to not take his cast off. And
there was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. And I was trying to get the next module out for Hearth Mother Journey. And and I feel like I'm even missing one other thing. Like there was some big things going on and I was just so overwhelmed. And I was like, I'm eating enough. Honestly, I was hydrating enough, eating enough for one, but I wasn't, again, I wasn't thinking it was twins. I was eating on my own hunger cues and I was stupid busy and carrying a lot of stress. And so I think I was like just burning so much through. And so it hit me. It was Thanksgiving. It was right after Thanksgiving and like my family, my parents had gotten sick. My mom was back in town, but they'd gotten sick and Thanksgiving was getting canceled. And then we kind of did a impromptu Thanksgiving with my sister-in-law's mother, because that's where my brother and sister had gone out of town and for her birthday. And so their kids were with Mandy. And so we were going to get the cousins together, but it was just this kind of like, okay, this is what we're doing for Thanksgiving. And I just was really overwhelmed and I didn't want to do Thanksgiving. And I just was like, this feels like a fake Thanksgiving, but we'll pull it together. And it actually ended up being a really beautiful time. But I was just super overwhelmed by it. And there was this, I had at one point gone, Mandy said that the food will be taken care of. You know, like, don't worry about it. I'll do it. You're stressed. I hear that. Just come over. Mm-hmm. That'll be it. And so I put away all of the Thanksgiving things into the pantry. And one of my children, trying to be helpful, was like, where'd the stuff go for Thanksgiving? And pulled out the items and put them back on the counter. And I walked into the kitchen and I saw the food on the counter and just bawled. I mean, like, broke, like somebody had died. Like, there was cans on my counter, and Lord Jesus needs to come back, because it was like, I mean, you would have thought someone had died. Like, I was wailing, sobbing, like everything I had been carrying just came out. And so I stepped outside of my kitchen door to my back porch, and I literally just wailed for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And my husband just came out and put his hand on my back and just prayed over me. And I finally, like, pulled it together. But it was just this, like, release. Mm-hmm. And so I think the next day it was like my body was like, oh, we got the emotion release. Now I'm going to show you that your body is done. And we need more. And so, like, I literally collapsed on the floor. Got Brandon finally, like, I got one of the kids. I felt it coming. So I kind of, like, laid down. And my littlest two were sitting there going, mommy's sleeping. And I was like, mommy's not sleeping. But I couldn't speak. And I was like, help. Get help.
Yeah.
And so they finally understood and got Brandon. And when I heard him running to me is when I, like, fully passed out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. That's not, you know, like, he got me sat up. He got my mom, got me hydrated, all the things. And, but in that space, I was like, this is, there's too much on my body.
Yeah.
Like,
something's gotta go.
I gotta shift. Yeah. It's time to shift. It's time to figure out what emotional things I'm carrying, because it's obviously not about the cans on the counter. And it's, you know, like, and there's obviously, you know, like, I'm obviously dehydrated, all the things. So I ended up putting myself on a 3-day bed rest to both figure out what was going on with me emotionally and what was going on physically. And in that time, that was also the time that the Lord said, let me be your midwife. Mm-hmm. And had me fully release my midwives. And that was just kind of like okay, let's do this. And so it was just another place of surrender. And so I let them go and just kind of really embraced God being the one calling all the shots, which he had already had been, but it was mm-hmm. like the officialness of it. Mm-hmm. And started eating more, started, you know, raising up the question of, like, is it twins again? I don't know. Was this just another place of I needed to surrender and make this other shift and kind of, like, continue to just hold it and push away the idea that it was twins. And then I got to, we were talking one day after recording a podcast, and I was like, man, I just feel so pregnant, like, yeah, way more than I should be. And you were like, well, how far along are you? Like, how far along do you feel pregnant? And because I think you first asked, well, you mean, like, emotionally or physically? Oh, yeah. And I was like, both. Like, I feel like I'm going through, like, that autumn of pregnancy where I'm, like, starting mm-hmm. to nest, and I'm trying to figure out counting things. And it was, like, super important this week that all of a sudden I knew how many diapers we had and how many, you know, what do I need for a baby? And I feel like I don't know all of a sudden what I need for a baby, and do yeah. I have things? And I was like, making lists, like it was
like a third trimester,
like a third trimester mom, mm-hmm. like it was important.
But you were only, like, early second try, if right. I remember correctly.
And yeah, exactly. And I was like, I'm emotionally there, but also, like, in my body, I feel as big as if I would be, like, 30 weeks. And you were like, well, how far along are you? And I was like, I don't know. So we calculated it, and I was 23 at the time. And so then I measured, and I was measuring 29 weeks. And I was like, well, that might be why I feel 30 weeks pregnant, because I'm carrying like I'm 30 weeks pregnant. And so that was when I couldn't deny it anymore.
I remember asking you point blank.
Yeah.
Because you were telling me all these different factors. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, do you ever think there could be two?
Right. Yeah.
And you were like, ah.
I think so. You know, I think at that point it was finally like, okay, I can't. It's time to know. It's time to really be open to that. It was like God had worked out all of the surrender that I needed and had given me the understanding of Levi. And there was so much there that I had finally gotten to the place of really freedom. Mm-hmm. And moved from that space of like the deeper wounded grief. And so I was able to like, okay, let's entertain this idea. Yep, I'm measuring way ahead. Okay, let's listen for two heart tones. And so we got out the fetoscope and the Doppler, and I listened around with the fetoscope for a while and found two heart tones and was like, oh, okay, well, let's see if they're the same, you know, where I'm hearing two clickety-clack sounds. Let's see if they're the same rate or not. And so I put headphones in Brandon's, or in the
Doppler. Your method was so clever.
Yeah. Because I didn't have two fetoscopes. And normally, I mean, it's not my method. Like, it is something that midwives do typically with like two fetoscopes, where you, that way there's no sound in the room, right? And like, one midwife will listen to the one heart tone and tap out. Mm-hmm. What the rate is that she's hearing in the other.
But what was clever is you video recorded it with your eyes closed so you couldn't see the other person and be tempted to sync up the
right.
Like, not sync up.
Yeah, because he's, you know, I didn't want to see. And so I was like just closing my eyes, trying to just hear the sound and tap out what I was hearing. And I put up my video camera so that I could count them because I could count, but my husband, that was really the video camera because he was like, I don't know if I'll count it correctly. So I was like, well, you just tap and I'll video you and then we'll count it afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I put the headphones in the Doppler so that we couldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened with the fetoscope and he listened with the Doppler. And then they were 20 beats apart. You know, it was like on 30 undeniable. And 152. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, even on the video, it was so clear.
Yeah, it was like they are so very different rates. And so, but I didn't believe it. So then we did it again. Couple hours later, and then, you know, and I think we did it twice, three times, where we'd actually felt like, okay, I'm hearing it with fetoscope, hearing that one with fetoscope, that, and I didn't pull out the Doppler the first time, and then I did it with the that way twice, and was like, okay, we definitely have two heart tones here, and so then it was like, now we need an ultrasound, okay, you know, well, I know what type,
like, what do we do with this information right. now? Like now that there are two. What do you want to do with that?
Right.
So you didn't have to sit with that one very long. That felt pretty clear to you pretty quick.
It was. I felt when I heard the second heartbeat the very first time, I heard it and it was that clear clickety clack. And I went, that's another baby. Like mm-hmm. I knew it in my gut, in my body, in my spirit. Like I knew. But then there was all of the like what ifs of my physical mind and like all the things I know in midwifery of like, you know, other moms that have had all of the things and found two heart tones and it still wasn't twins. And so I began to like, I knew it and I had, if I could rest in it, I had like the confirmation in myself, but then there was the, like all the what ifs were so heavy and so loud
mm-hmm.
that I did take about 3 days to process before I had the ultrasound, like I scheduled the ultrasound for the following day or whatever. So
let's remember, she had just released,
I just released my midwife.
The midwives who have experience with twins.
Right. And
the ones that let them go and then showed you you were having twins.
I had twins. Right.
So then it's like, what does that change your plans?
Right.
It was one of the questions.
It was one of the questions for sure.
With there being two, does that put you back in a situation of like,
should I go back? Did I hear it wrong? Thing? Did I what? Yeah. So there was all of that space. Yeah. And I did decide to do the ultrasound because I had been talking with all of these other midwives and like, well, I had a client that did that. Mm-hmm. She was measuring weight, you know, and a friend of mine, this midwife that happened in her own body and it was just one baby. And so I did decide to get the ultrasound. And the night before the ultrasound, I had my life group leaders, my Bible study leaders pray over me and Brandon. He had come to pick me up from women's Bible study. And I was like, let's just tell them. Because we'd only been telling our close, close, like 3-4 people, you know, like at our very inner circle. And then those I had asked for advisement on. And like, I was like, let's just tell them and ask them to pray, because we had scheduled the ultrasound at that point. It was the next day. And I was like, I just need to be okay with whatever we find.
Yeah.
You know, like because what I couldn't do was not have the ultrasound and wait till birth and it be one. I was like, I can't set my heart up for it being twins and really embrace that and believe that and be wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to just find out now. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the one thing that I was like, I really need to be able to just fully embrace this with confidence.
For the sake of the grief
yeah. and my heart there, and felt very okay with that, and guided to do that, and so I was had them pray, and I was, as they were starting to pray, I just said to the Lord, like, okay, God, I just need a confirmation, like, to go in, like, faith is the evidence of, you know, what's not seen. Like, there's a substance that I can hold on to, and so I, like, will you just give me something, give me an anchor for this hope so that I can step out in faith and to have this ultrasound. And I was like, if you could just, he names our babies. He always gives me a name. I don't name my babies. God gives us a name. And so I was like, will you just give, if there's another baby, will you give me their name? Because we thought we'd had a name for one, which I don't even know what that name is, because it was a boy name. And I don't know, I guess that must mean there's another baby or it's a grandchild or something, but I thought I had a boy. And so I was like, I have this name. Will you, if there's two, will you give me the other name? And, in that prayer, I heard him say Willow. And I was like, okay. And that night we had been talking all about freedom, and Willow's name means willow tree, but also it means freedom. Mm-hmm. And so as we were driving home, I was like, I'm not going to tell God, I think that was you, but I'm not going to tell Brandon. Will you tell Brandon if that was you and that's our child's mm-hmm. name? Like, you tell Brandon, and I'm just going to hold this in my heart. And, you know, but like, was that me, you know, like, and so then I looked it up and it meant freedom. And I was like, we were just, okay. That felt like another confirmation. But I kept waiting for God to give the name to Brandon. And he was like, I'm not hearing anything. I was like, okay. So I felt like I had this name of a promise of its twins, but I was still like doubting a level to a degree.
You were nervous.
I was nervous. I was very nervous. So we got into that ultrasound room, and again, he was so gracious, because it was like, not, I thought I was going to have to be going back to the same place that I found out that Levi was gone. Mm-hmm. And she had moved buildings. And so it was a new building and you know, different location and all the things. And so I walked in, and I, as soon as she put the ultrasound wand down, it was like, bam, two little heads right next to each other. And it was the amount of like joy. And like, I mean, I was literally laughing and crying and like screaming, thank you, Jesus. And like shaking, like just, it was so much emotional release of gratefulness and shock and awe and all the things. And she just, like, it was all three of us. And so I looked up to Brandon and I said, her name is Willow. And he said, I've been seeing willow trees for like weeks and I didn't know why. And I was like, oh, that's it. So he'd actually given the name to him even before I asked him to.
He just connected the dots.
But he didn't know why he kept having a vision of a willow tree. He just had been having a vision of a willow tree. And I'd have to check. I meant to check before he did this, but I think he had a vision of a willow tree with a bird in it. Mm-hmm. And he actually was making at the time, this was late December, mid December. We found out on Leela's birthday. Actually, we were doing the ultrasound on Leela and Levi's birthday. Technically just Leela's, but anyway. He had been making this cedar plaque that has these symbolic, like, images of each person in our family, and like all around the rock of Jesus and the river, the healing river of life. And like, he made this beautiful art piece that he wood burned, this like memorial, I guess would be the word. I don't know.
Above of your water jug.
Yes.
I wondered what that was.
Yes. So there's...
it is very cool.
There's all these symbols of our family and some different prophetic words over each person and all of that. And he'd had it almost complete except for the pregnancy, because it was my Christmas gift. And so there was the baby that I'm carrying, and he was asking, okay, God, what do I put mm-hmm. for here? And he was waiting for the answer, but he didn't realize that the willow tree was the answer because we were thinking it was a different child. We were thinking about Wilder. So he wasn't putting it together. Uh-huh. And so he ended up drawing the willow tree with the wren on the cedar plaque. So anyway, he had been given the confirmation and then we found out that it was like, okay, is it die-die twins or is it mono-die twins? Essentially, are they in the same sac, the same chorion sac with two amniot and one placenta, or are they in two chorion, two amnion with their own placentas? And the placenta looked like it was fused together. Placentas
fused.
It looked like it was one placenta, like one placenta grown together. And it looked like it was two that had just implanted mm-hmm. close enough that they fused together, Right. That's a type of die-die. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that would be fraternal twins. They have their own placenta. They just kind of morphed together. Whereas mono-die is one placenta, it's one placenta with two umbilical cords in it. And so there was this weird like indentation in the placenta that it made it look like it was a fused placenta. But so we kind of went back and forth and we ended up finding the genders out because of this. Cause we were like, well, if it's a boy girl, that automatically makes it fraternal. Oh, it's not Wilder. Okay. This is two little girls. And, just kind of figured out all of this stuff to essentially say 80% sure that's die-die, but there's this like 20% that it's mono-die. And so I just was like, okay, Lord, mono-die tends to need more monitoring. So I'm going to believe it's die-die, but if I'm wrong and I need more monitoring, or, you are the midwife, so if you want me to have more monitoring, if they need this, for either type, like if they need monitoring, just let me know. You've told me in the past, I'm going to trust you with that. So I kind of went on this assumption that they were die-die twins and left alone. And I never had any more ultrasounds, never felt any need to monitor them. Always felt under my hands that they were somewhat the same size. And so I was never too worried. I had peace about it and just went throughout that. So essentially, we carried that out until the end of pregnancy. Do we want to stop and pick up here for our time?
That may be necessary.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I was trying to find like...
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Holy Wild Birth. We hope that you were genuinely encouraged, inspired, and challenged by what you heard today. If you're loving what you hear, please make sure that you share it. Leave reviews. That helps other mamas find this content as well. And don't forget to read the show notes, okay? Because that's where you can find our email address if you want to reach out to us and start a conversation. It's also where you'll find free offerings as well as invitations to work with me and or Lauren. We can't wait to get to know you. See you next week.